Hi there, James Wedmore here. I'm host of the Mind Your Business podcast and founder of the Rapid Growth System for online experts looking to scale their business, Business by Design. And if you don't know me, I've actually been running an online business for the past 15 years now, and I primarily do that with digital products. And I don't think I need to tell you that digital products are hands down the most profitable and fulfilling business model that exists online. Think about it. What else allows you to take your genius, your wisdom, your expertise, and package it in a way that you build it once and continue to get it into the hands of thousands, reach people all over the world, and start getting paid to make a difference? That's what I've done. And chances are, if you're listening to this, that's what you want to be doing as well. But let's face it, it's hard. Is super overwhelming. And everyone seems to be teaching that one thing. Like, you have to be doing this to be successful, or this is the answer to get more customers, or this is the platform or tool you need to be on in order to reach more people. But the problem is, business is not whittled down to just one thing. And until you take a holistic approach to running your business, chances are you'll be missing more than one thing. And that's where I come in. This June, I am hosting the first of three live training workshops called The Rise of the Digital CEO. In this training, you're going to walk through and see behind the curtain of my eight-figure digital product-based business so you can see the exact five gears that run my entire business. Whether you're just starting out, or you're struggling to sell your course, or you're ready to scale it and take to the next level, you're going to see what today's most successful digital CEOs are doing differently to attract more clients and customers and sell more of their digital products. To step into the role that your business needs, head on over to businessbydesign.net/rise.
Total savings is somewhere in the ballpark. It's going to be around $65,000 of tax credits over those 5 years.
Wow.
Yeah. That's a lot. That's a lot of money to put back into your business, or put that in your own pocket for retirement savings, or use it for other employee benefits, things like that. So very, very substantial. Yeah.
Hey, and welcome to the Ambitious Bookkeeper Podcast. I'm Serena Shoup, CPA, a mom of three, and I've been running a virtual bookkeeping business from my home since 2017. You are in the right place if you are a bookkeeper, accountant, or an accounting student, and you believe and know in your heart that your purpose is bigger than sitting in a cubicle. If you're ready to learn some actionable tips and strategies for starting and growing your accounting business, then I hope you stick around. Welcome back to the Ambitious Bookkeeper Podcast. I have Matt Ruttenberg back on air today to do a part two around retirement planning for your small business. And today we're going to do a deep dive into tax credits because we just couldn't get to it last time. So welcome back, Matt. How are you?
Good. Thanks, Serena. Thanks for having me again.
Yeah, of course. So I'm just going to let you jump right in. And if you're listening and you didn't catch the last episode we did, I will link it in the show notes. We kind of give the basics around retirement planning for your small business, the options that are available to you if you have employees versus not. And today we're going to just dive deeper into that topic. So where would you like to start?
Oh, yeah. So, oh my goodness. So we have lots of information today. Just keep in mind with this, everything with a 401k plan, with the fairness laws and all these tax credits are geared around your employees, not necessarily for you. They're incentivizing you to implement these 401k plans and offer these benefits to your employees. So I want to kind of start with where we're at today, and then I want to back into kind of where we came from with these tax credits. So Secure 2.0. This passed in the 11th hour of 2022, implemented the next day, basically, for 2023, and substantial, one of the biggest changes, if not the biggest change to the 401k industry ever. One of those reasons is because of the tax credits. And so let's kind of go back a little bit. There was this, you know, Secure 1.0, or Secure Act, and that passed in 2019. And what they introduced then, and prior to that, you only had a measly, I think it was $500 tax credit on a good day, if you implemented a 401k plan. They then added something called the startup credit, and it was a $250 per non-highly compensated employee, up to 50% of your out-of-pocket expenses. So let's just say it all added up and you had $5,000 per year of out-of-pocket expenses, you'd get up to $2,500, depending on, you know, your employee pool. Now, what is a highly compensated employee? Kind of let's take a step back real quick. Highly compensated employee is $155,000 or more, an owner, or a direct relative, like a child or a spouse of the owner. Those do not get any of that tax credit. It's for the non-highly compensated employees that get that $250, okay? So that was Secure 1.0. They also had a $500 auto enrollment credit. So what that means is if you created an opt-out plan instead of an opt-in plan. So they had to sign a form to say, I don't want to be a part of it, instead of signing the form to be a part of it, okay? So that's Secure 1.0, 2019. So let's fast forward to 2023, and they improved it even more. Okay, so that startup credit, the $250 per employee, that is now 100% of your out-of-pocket expenses. So you could literally create and design a net zero out-of-pocket with no administration fee whatsoever for the first 3 years. Now, yeah, that startup credit goes for the first 3 years of your plan. So up to $5,000 for the first 3 years, okay? And then it goes away. Then we still have that $500 auto enrollment credit. And that's basically for, again, the opt-out. So you can add that. That's also for the first 3 years. So those two tax credits offset your costs to the administrator, to the record keeper. And this is for employees for under 100, companies for less than 100 employees. Okay. Mm-hmm. So let's add another tax credit under 2.0. This is the astonishing one that they added, and this is the one that really turns heads. So it's called the contribution credit, and this is brand new, and a lot of people have never even heard of this, to be honest with you. So it is up to $1,000 per year, and it dwindles down over 5 years per employee that earns under $100,000 to offset the match or the employer contribution. Okay.
Wow. So
the specific math is 50%, up to 50% of what you're giving your employees with a cap of $1,000 per employee. So basically, if you have 40 employees that earned under $100,000, you're going to get $40,000, up to $40,000 in tax credits. And it's over 5 years. So it's 100% of the 1,000, 100% of 1,000, then it goes 75, 50, 25, 0. So you'll have this stretched out tax credit for 5 years that starts to dwindle down to zero.
Okay, I have a question about that. The 5 years, is it a locked in 5 years? So as soon as you take the credit the first year, you now have 5 years, or is it 5 years for each employee? Does that make sense?
So it's 5 years. You're filing form 8880. That's the IRS tax form. And prior to 2.0, it was much shorter. Now 2.0, it's a much longer form. So it's kind of, it re-ups every year, basically. So it's for the first 5 years, and there's a nuance. It's only for plans that, and there's a 23 and beyond. If you have a plan prior to that, you get the Secure 1.0 tax credit in the year 2020. It's not like from the year of the employee starting, it's from the year of the startup.
Okay.
And then you're just reevaluating that form 8880 on a year by year basis.
Gotcha.
So if you have new employees being introduced, like in year three, it's going to be still that same calculation from the beginning.
Okay. So year three is the 75% or whatever.
Yes. Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
Got it.
So yeah, it's a lot. It's a lot. We like to put those in every single proposal that we have, just because you can see what is your net cost.
Yeah.
It's done at the end of the year through your accountant, CPA, or yourself, however you file. And it's just substantial. It's not as well known as we would like it to be. Let's put it that way.
Yeah. So essentially the government is trying to encourage employers to create matching programs so that our people will save for retirement.
Exactly. Yeah. And
there's already states that are kind of requiring this type of stuff, but this is on a federal level.
On a federal level, and it gets into any state that you live in. It works. And it also works for simple IRAs. That credit goes towards simple IRAs as well. So you're not just stuck in having to do a 401k. So if the simple IRA makes sense, let's get the tax credit for that too.
Mm-hmm. And go back to listen to our last episode together where we talked about the different types of plans. And we'll make sure to link those in the show notes as well.
Yeah.
Okay, so can you give us, are those all the tax credits that you wanted to talk about?
Yeah, those are all the tax credits available. There, you know, obviously, there's a lot more tax credits just from a business standpoint on what you can do. But from a 401k standpoint, this is what we're doing. And we're doing this. We have calculators that we use this for. We actually have one on our website, too, where you can get in there and just plug it in. You'll get the estimated tax credit right off the bat. But the whole point is to use this, you know, don't let it go to waste, you know, use it to reinvest in your business, use it to implement more of a retirement plan, even for yourself, just on an individual level for the business owner. So there's so many little things to maximize that tax savings. It's a tax credit. This isn't a deduction. It's a full credit.
So like a dollar for dollar credit type of situation.
Absolutely.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And if you're listening and you're not sure what a deduction versus a credit is, there's definitely resources out there.
Yes.
I encourage you to get familiar with that because your clients are going to have questions about it anyways. And it's really good to be able to explain that to your clients. Mm-hmm. What's a deduction versus a credit. Okay. So can you give us like a case study example of when you guys have worked through this with a specific business?
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm going to work through the actual calculator that we use. I want to kind of do a real case scenario for a client that we've recently onboarded. I want to kind of explain something before I get into this piece. So all these credits for employees up to 100, businesses mm-hmm. with up to 100 employees. If you have 50 and below, all these tax credits are at the levels that I explained. That contribution credit, I forgot to mention this. Anything above 50 employees to 100, it starts diminishing per employee just slightly by 2% mm-hmm. per employee. So for example, if you have 51 employees and they're all participating and they all get that contribution credit of $1,000, it's now 2% less. Okay. It's just slightly 2% less. And that dwindles obviously as you get closer to 100, then it wipes down to 0%. So in this case study, we had a business with 25 employees, and these are all the numbers that we need. There's only four sets of numbers that we need for this. 25 employees, 23 participants. So we have two employees that decided not to participate. 20 of those, 23, are non-highly compensated employees. So under the 155, they're not owners, they're not kids. So that means there's three people who are owners, basically. And this, they're all three of them. There's a three-way partnership on this. And there's 15 of those 20 that earn less than $100,000. So 25 total employees, 23 participants, 20 non-highly compensated participants, and then 15 who earn under $100,000. Okay, so the tax credits on that in year one is $20,500 for years one and two, and then it goes down to $16,750. And then $7,500 and then $3,750. So the breakdown is $15,000 towards those employees who earn under $100,000, right? So that's $15,000 that can go towards the match or the contribution, however the plan design works out. Then we have a $5,000 administration credit that goes towards the out-of-pocket expense. And then we have the $500 opt-in auto-enrollment credit. So totaling,
and that's per employee?
Yes. So no, that's just a flat $500 per year.
Okay.
So auto enrollment is going to be mandatory in the year 2025. So starting in next year, every plan that has started from 2023 and on, it has to be an opt-out plan instead of an opt-in plan. So we're taking advantage of it. Every plan we design has an opt-out feature that you have to add to it because there's an extra $500 for you.
So total savings, I think I cut you off, or maybe I didn't wait to ask my question, so I didn't hear the answer. But the total savings for this client?
Total savings is somewhere in the ballpark. It's going to be around $65,000 of tax credits over those 5 years.
Wow.
Yeah. That's a lot. That's a lot of money to put back into your business or put that in your own pocket for retirement savings or use it for other employee benefits, things like that. So very, very substantial. Yeah.
Did you, in that calculation, do you have the plan administrative costs, like reducing that, or is that prior to using that for those types of out-of-pocket expenses?
So, yeah. So a plan of that size, the costs are going to be somewhere, I'm looking at a number of record keepers that we work with. Almost every single one of them, I'm looking at you're maxing out your tax credit. So you will have no out-of-pocket expense for every single record keeper. We work with dozens of them, and each has their own niche. So some are a little bit more expensive than others, but every single one of them is, you're going to max out your out-of-pocket expenses. So you will have a net zero cost for the first 3 years of that, of actually implementing, and even implementation costs. It covers that too. There's a lot of tax credits on that. And then you have that $15,000 to offset your match. So we're
that's pretty awesome.
Absolutely able to design net zero plans right now.
Cool.
Yeah.
Okay. So do you have anything else that you're like currently seeing in the industry or doing? Like, what types of plans are you doing the most right now? Do you have that information?
Yeah. So something that like, if you're looking, if you're really in the budget mindset of you want to implement something, but you really want to make sure it's cost effective, right? You're not ready to stockpile maybe your own money into the plan. It's purely for the employee benefit because you're maybe a newer company and we want to really recruit and retain. That's the goal. So we will design a kind of a, whether it's a simple IRA, which is a good first step sometimes because there's no administration costs, but at the same time, you're limited on what you can do inside of a simple IRA. So if you're getting those costs paid for and you see a projection of your business going high enough to where after 3 years, you can pay for those administration costs, then the 401k might be better. But, you know, a traditional 401k is always a good first step too. You know, you're able to do the Roth, you can still do profit sharing on the years that you want to do them. And what we do there is we design a low, it's always good to start low. You don't want to overpromise because if you have to cut that back, that takes away a lot of confidence from employees. So you want to be able to, let's say we do a 25% match on six, right? So if the employees put in six, the most you're going to have to match them is 1.5%. And that's going to help really cover the costs are really going to help cover that, that tax credit, or that out of pocket expense. So it might not cover all of it depending on your employee pool. And it's all based on how much they make, how much their salaries are, and then how much you're doing, but being able to mold that traditional 401k really, really, really helps to be able to stay within that budget and have a net, very, very net low cost on these plans for the first 3 to 5 years. It's phenomenal.
And then, so do you see that the companies that invest in creating these plans like this, are they, I'm assuming they have better retention, but do you see that?
Oh, yeah.
And do you see that those businesses actually just become more successful and then later on they're just able to afford these plans for their employees?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, of course, employee benefits is very popular these days. You know, it used to be, you know, how much money am I getting paid? And now employee benefits are coming back as a really popular solution to be able to recruit and retain your employees. You're not only in competition with your competition for your clients and or your the folks that you service, you're in competition for the employee side of it too. So you need to be able to create something for them to stay with you. And you can create these elongated up to 6 years of vesting schedule, you know, to where they don't get the money that you've matched them fully through the 6 years. But if they leave, then that money goes back into the coffer, back into the 401k plan. You can use that for other costs and the matching and all that too. But when you design these low cost plans, the vesting schedule and the match, the tax credits and everything go into the conversation that we have. And it's all about what is that number one goal that you have? What is the goal? What's the purpose of this plan? Is it to recruit and retain, or is it for you to stockpile and save taxes? And it could be both. So we come down and say, what is your net? Are you in the black? Are you in the red? What's the goal? What is the goal? And sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't with these tax credits. And then we have to go back to the drawing board and redesign the plan. And it's nice to be able to do that in a custom fashion instead of a plug and play prototype, which we talked about last time too. So lots to go into it on the plan design with the tax credits, what's your budget, what kind of record keeper. Every record keeper has a niche. Some are great with startups, some are great with a lot of money, and some love a lot of employees. And they're all priced to that. And we just got to find the one that works out.
Okay. Very good. So this is a really valuable conversation to listen to as a business owner for anyone who is building their bookkeeping or accounting business and is starting to build a team. But it's also a really valuable thing to just be aware of for your client's sake. So if you know that your client has some, you know, they're growing and they're trying to attract and retain employees, you can give them Matt's information.
Yeah.
And be like, you should talk to this guy. I mean, I have clients that are looking at their long-term planning too. Like in our 30s, 40s age range, it's like, okay, now is, especially as an entrepreneur, if you have an exit plan or not, like you still need to think about what you're going to do in retirement. Yeah. Like we don't want to go back to corporate. So it's a good conversation starter for your clients. And, you know, especially I feel like summertime is things are more low key. People aren't like front facing as much, but I feel like a lot of business owners kind of take a step back and reevaluate things during the summer, work on systems, all the back end stuff. So now is a really good time to bring this up to your clients.
That's true. The 401k industry is very streaky. Yeah. It's, you know, October coming up. The summer is very busy because you have the safe harbor deadlines and end of year, which is, and then you have, you know, filing time. What can we do for the last year? So there's a lot of just ask questions ahead of time. That's the biggest thing. Trying to shotgun this at the last minute creates a lot of problems, and then you have to make amendments to the plan, which is fine. We don't charge for amendments, but so it's a fluid conversation from year to year.
Yeah. Yeah. So thank you so much for being willing to come back on the podcast to talk about the tax credits. I don't think we were even really aware of it until we stopped the recording last time. And then you're like, oh yeah, I forgot to talk about tax credits. So this is really good to kind of give it in a little digestible way instead of fire hosing everyone in the last episode. But if you're listening and you want to connect with Matt, please, his information is going to be in the show notes. Please reach out to him on behalf of your clients, for yourself, whoever you can think of. These are really great tax credits and opportunities to just help businesses grow and retain good teams. Yeah. So thank you so much for coming on. Is there anything else you want to share?
I got a whole slew of information, but I'm going to hold back on it. As you said, the fire hose is sometimes too much. So maybe next time.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And so if you enjoy this episode, please make sure you share it with someone and connect with myself and Matt, and we'll talk to you next time.
Thank you to everyone who helps make this podcast possible. Content and interviews are produced by me, Serena Hsu. Our intro and outro music is written and performed by my brother, Ian Gilliam. Editing is also by Ian, using his awesome sound engineering skills along with Descript software. Hosting and publishing is by Buzzsprout, and you can check out the show notes for links to all of these amazing resources and resources mentioned in the episode.
Be ambitious.